Gee, what happened to church today? Just for the youth benefit, they usually go downstairs. This is not why we asked you to stay upstairs, the technical issues. Before Seinfeld did their parody of it, the Merv Griffin Show was a generation's after-school unwind time. In my hometown, they broadcast first the Beverly Hillbillies. People hear a story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day, had some food, and up come some bubbling crude. Okay, I'm not alone in remembering that. 10 stars for anybody that can do Petticoat Junction. Petticoat Junction. They got it in the back. After that, the Merv Griffin Show came on. I actually used to get after-school snacks during Petticoat Junction, but didn't really do that much for me. No recordings were made of this particular show that I'm going to reference now. They don't exist. I did ask. It was the fall of 1967, and Merv did one of the routines that he usually did, which was about once a month, he would take pop song lyrics and then read them as genuine poetry and making the most poetic sense he could of them. So, for example, Cold Sweat by James Brown. Ha, I don't care about your past. I just want, ho, our love to last. D, I don't care, darling, about your faults, huh? I just want to satisfy your pulse. Oh, ho. Ho. Or Get On Up by Moore, Taylor, and Shepherd. Say it with me. Ooh, 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 dit, 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 do. Ooh, 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 dit, 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 do. Get on up. Get on up. Now get on up. Now get on up. Then this one. When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy within you dies. When the garden flowers are dead, and your mind is so full of red. Tears are running all down your breast, and your friends, they treat you like a guest. Don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Wouldn't you love somebody to love? You better find somebody to love. The audience's reaction, they have a live audience, I had a live audience for the Merv Griffin Show, with the live audience had the same reaction as you, which is, this is no laughing matter. This is serious stuff. Love or the lack thereof can be a matter of life and death. It touched a chord. The pop station in my hometown of Charleston, West Virginia, described recently as the most depressing city in the United States. There's reasons for that. The pop station premiered that Somebody to Love by Jefferson Airplane as the rotten egg of the week. It stayed at the top of the charts for 3 consecutive weeks. It struck a chord. I have no one like Timothy, said the Apostle Paul, who, although he's not with you, is anxious about your well-being. Paul, in his letters, names more than 100 friends, but these two in particular have an interest in the Philippians. That's why he mentions them, Timothy and Epaphroditus. We need friends like these two. I mean, you know your own loneliness, the issues that you face, the uncertainty about the future. What's the next step? You need to find somebody to love. The Lord is the Christian's model. These two are model Christians. Timothy was as anxious as Martha. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha was busy about the kitchen, all kinds of stuff that was going on there, running to about. Timothy was like that. He was anxious, like that Martha, trying to figure out what to do, how he could help the people in Philippi. He was more than a friend. He breathed the same air Paul breathed. He connected, when you met with him, he connected with your soul. And that's refreshing. As Paul says, everybody else is into their own interests. No one else has the interests like Timothy does, like Jesus Christ does. Brother and sister were swaying together on one of those wooden horse rockers. The boy called to his sister behind him and said, "If one of us would get off, there would be more room for me." That's most people's attitude. I'll look after number one, please. If one of us would get off. That's contagious. Timothy could not be with them, but he was still anxious for them. I have no one like Amy Miller. She is also not present, but she loves every memory of you. Just for those who don't know Amy, a Yorkshire lass, 90 years old. She's now a resident in a senior's home too far away to walk to the res, as she used to do for probably 30-some years. Just, I think it was 1066 or something like that. Woodbine, just walked to the church and back. She was about 70 and a widow when we first met. She was a member of the four-lady robed seniors choir. Well, we only had one choir, but they were all seniors when I arrived. And she served in the shadow of the Chancel Guild president. When Amy's superior left, Amy declined to take up leadership. She never felt she was a leader. She still doesn't feel that she's a leader. So, with a wink, and I confirmed this with Gwen this morning, we named Gwen Diamond as our Chancel Guild head. But then she deferred all decisions to Amy, who from quietly, unobtrusively served us as setting up. Chancel Guild sets up this area and the hangings and various things. Even when she fell, she would not complain. She was walking to a church event to set up on Sunday, fell on the ice, and broke her arm. Never complained. Well, okay, there was the Christmas Eve where we had a great service, and then Amy went back into that little room on the side to clean up, and everybody left, turned off the lights and shut the doors, and she was left in a dark church on Christmas Eve. I've never heard the end of that, but otherwise, she served in surprising official and in many ways unofficial ways. We got her on committees to evaluate Wycliffe students. She was writing their proposals, their evaluations for the years of service. She hosted a cell group in her home, and when that got to be too much and too large, they shifted to the building here. Unofficially, Amy was a joy booster. Once the band sang you got to serve somebody, Bob Dylan song. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. One other member of the chancel I noticed going up in that room with a tissue on her eyes, and I'm thinking, oh, this is trouble. So I went back and talked to her. She was just absolutely broken. Look at what my church has come to. So I stood in there in pain with her, talk about it, and said, okay, I'll try to calm it down a little bit. I walked out, came out. Amy used to sit just about where you're sitting, Jeremy. I walked out. She was still there. She came back. She came to me and said, Duke, that song, I love it. Can we do it again tonight? She would sit here or stand, and whenever the band started getting rocking, she'd be, 85, 90 years old, just, and everybody behind could see here, and we all had permission to enjoy and enter the music. I have no one, when I visited her this week, her first question to me was, how was the rest? How are the people at the rest? That's Amy. I have no one like Amy who is not here, but nevertheless takes a great interest in you. Paul calls Epaphroditus so many kind things: a spiritual brother, a fellow worker, fellow soldier, and that's probably said to appeal to the retired military people who had set up their base in Philippi, who were their retirement homes there. Epaphroditus, as Paul tells the story, gambled his life on Jesus. He was all in. In Roman culture, as in ours, sometimes benefactors would see a public need and meet it themselves. It might be paying for a drama, building an embassy, sponsoring athletic games, building a highway. Epaphroditus, Paul says, was a spiritual benefactor of the Philippians, investing in them. So, who is my fellow worker? Hello. Julie Byrne is our Epaphroditus, or maybe it should be Epaphrodite. Probably, I think so. She is my spiritual sister here, the only full-time fellow worker who also delivers messages in a different form, expositing the word, serving children and families with Lindsay and with Julie Golding Page, Julie, myself, Heidi, and Elizabeth. Timothy and Epaphroditus worked out their salvation with fear and trembling. What God worked in them, they worked out in humble service, taking risks, revealing the mind of Christ. Pray that you have people like that. Look for them, identify them, and encourage them. As it says in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him or her up. But pity those who fall and have no one to help them. Paul needed friends like Timothy who would visit Philippi in the future, and like Epaphroditus, who was from them, carried the letter, and then would return. Paul needed such friends because he himself, being in prison, could not be there with them. All too soon, I will be away from you. No, hopefully not in prison. I haven't been charged with anything. I have served the resurrection for 16 plus years here. By Anglican standards, that's a long incumbency. I have been in ordained ministry for 33 years and have served Christ and his church full time for about 40 years. In the Old Testament, Levites began to serve the Lord when they were about 25 and had to retire when they were 50. So adjusted for inflation in life expectancy, it's actually past time for me. So today, to you, I am announcing my retirement. God willing, I plan to be with you through the summer and into the fall, except for holidays, of course. The wardens have asked me to be the presenter at the parish weekend. That will be beginning of October. I've asked Tom Salis if we can have another coffee house, this time Duke's Last Waltz. My hope would be to bring back 16 years worth of musicians who have been with us and do over there some of the cover songs we've been doing here. Eric Clapton, Rolling Stones, Crosby, Nash, Stills and Young, Leonard Cohen, any number of things. Haven't done any Bieber. Good. Just haven't found the lyrics that work yet. My last Sunday will be October 30th. So the staff are already starting to refer to the time after I leave as after Halloween. I have not figured out what that means yet. It's been a very good run here. Deborah and I plan to do some traveling, but beyond that, we don't have many plans. And retirement, it's really not the right word. It's like being, retirement sounds like being put out to pasture. One blogger came up with this, and a lot of people love it, a rewirement. Those things that, because I've served you so joyfully, really, there are some things that are put on the back burner. I don't even know what they are yet. But in time, that stuff comes up, and I'll end up doing that. Sharing some of the wisdom that I have learned and also learning from others who I'm not with week by week. Yeah, this is hard. And no, we don't know exactly what's coming for us or for you. But that's what faith is for. However, your finances here have never been better. You have an incredible staff here. St. Columba's is even hopping. I wish all of you could have been there to see what happened as the rockabilly band just started getting into it. They didn't care how big the crowd was. And as it shrunk, people started getting out on the floor. It was a sock hop, really. So hopping is exactly the right term for what's going on in that second building. It's amazing. I am confident with the staff team, the wardens and leadership that you're going to be fine. I am confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. But I am curious about one thing. If you've been tracking what happens when stars die, you know, like David Bowie, Prince, etc., there are two sort of strands that happen. One, appreciation of them as individuals, their family, their life, but also the changes that have happened that they were somehow a part of. Not that I brought the changes. I've just been here while they happened. What have you learned? This church is a weird church. This is from Connie Denbach, our expert, who came in outside to look at this. I said, "Doc Connie, why did you call us weird?" She said, "Your people actually like change. I've never met a church that likes change. We've learned here that if we do something and it doesn't work, we're just not going to do it again. But if we like it, well, it might be something we can pick up on. We also don't make people do jobs here. That language was very strong when I and a number of other people arrived in 2000. There's a job for the church. No. We ask people to serve from their passions, like Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus. They were moved to move from their passions. So you're sitting among people who know how to do ministry from their passions. The thing about somebody with a passion is that they have more energy having done it than when they started. And that's what we find here over and over again. We also don't hold people to positions that they have to keep going on forever. We let them go and see who the Lord raises up. And if the Lord doesn't raise anybody else up, God's got another plan. So that's the question. What has God been teaching you about how to be a missional community of Jesus followers in the 21st century? I'll post this on Facebook as well. Once we hear from you and we develop, identify some strands, that's going to be our preaching series into the fall until I go. Looking biblically for all of those things we have learned together, and I've learned many things from you. How has God made your life together here worth living? In the meantime, you need each other and I need you. Pray for me and Deborah and our family as we set our eyes toward that uncertain future after October 30th. By the way, the people who are going to encourage you through that time, God is already sending them. Last week, there were a dozen visiting newcomers. God is already sending the encouragers to you. Some of them are back today. You know who you are. For everybody's benefit, hospitality here, we have not welcomed you until you have changed us. It's not that we ask you to adapt to us. We have to learn how to include you so that we are changed. That's what it means to welcome people here. So that your relationship is so deep, so transformative, that Jesus is seen in your mutual love. And if they are ready to serve, and never rush that, right, Tom? Never rush somebody into service. Give them time. You're going to find more of the encouragement you need in the days ahead. Always, above all, as God mightily enables, be kind. And continue in God's kindly mission to the world, Jesus being your best friend, who will not leave you ever. So, if Merv Griffin were to pick up pop songs today, there'd be a lot that he would not be allowed to read over national television. And some silly things he'd get a lot of laughs from. But every once in a while, something pops up, like these by Jason Mraz. Dream of better lives, the kind which never hate, dropped in the state of imaginary grace. I made a pilgrimage to save this human's race, never comprehending the race that's long gone by. Or this song by Lawrence Chuning. Let everything that has life, let everything that has breath, give all the glory and honor and praise to the one who overcame death. Let everything sing of the mercies of God. Let us exalt him wherever we live with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts. If we do not praise him, the mountains will. If we do not exalt him, the rocks will cry out in our stead. God is not dead. Let every living thing sing of the mercies of God. Let us exalt him wherever we live with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts. Amen. John, did you want to do something now? Jill?
The Lord has already met with the bishop, and we can talk more about that next week. But right now, what we really want to do is pray for Duke and Deborah.
Thank you.
So we would like to invite anyone who wants to come forward to pray with us, or to just pray where you're sitting if anyone wants to come up.
Holy Father, we give you thanks for Duke and Deborah. They have been servants that have faithfully served your church. They have poured out their lives into our community, and we are so grateful. Be with them. Give them strength and joy as they plan their next steps. And we are reassured that you care for us. You love us, have great plans for us, and are already preparing a servant for us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your encouragement. And thank you for being with us as we continue to learn and serve you. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. But I ain't gone yet.